everyone. Welcome to America Trends. Thanks for coming along with us for the hour. I'm Amy Fuller. Got some big news, obviously, from Washington, D.C., and we are going to talk to Bart Marcoise, who joins us often. He is a former undersecretary to President George W. Bush, career diplomat, contributor to OpsLens.com. Going to be talking all about the national emergency, all about the wall. And also, as a double bonus, or a bonus, or a double bonus, whatever fits, Dr. Jason Piccolo. He is a former ICE agent who in 2015 blew the whistle on the thousands of unaccompanied alien children who were being released to criminals, including sex offenders, by members of the very government he served. And as our TV audience can see, his book, Unwavering, is coming out in March. And so he's got a lot to say. He's documented it all, and he's going to talk a little bit about what he's seen and what this new funding will mean for our national security. And so he has done it. President Bush declaring a national emergency in the United States of America in order to fund the long-promised border wall. This national emergency will enable his administration to move $8 billion from various federal agencies to fund the wall. He spoke and made his case and actually spent quite a few minutes also taking questions. He was asked about military funding and how this could affect some of that. He said some of those were not even allocated yet, and that some of the generals he's spoken to said this is the more important move, to build that wall. And as you can see, our TV audience, Twitter reacting, a lot of people are saying it's trending, this hashtag, it's a fake national emergencies. People who are hating on the wall and denying that it can do us any good, but tons and tons of support. You know, this is what President Trump ran on. This could face some court challenges, and in fact, we will hear some remarks from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in a few minutes. And the problem with her issue, in the 30 or so national emergencies we've been under since, say, the 70s, and there are some 30, this is different because many of those did not reappropriate money, apparently. That's the job of Congress, of course, so stay tuned to see what happens. But first, what we're going to do right now is go to the Rose Garden and hear what President Trump himself had to say.
So we're going to be signing today and registering national emergency. And it's a great thing to do because we have an invasion of drugs, invasion of gangs, invasion of people, and it's unacceptable. And by signing the national emergency, something signed many times by other presidents, many, many times, President Obama. In fact, we may be using one of the national emergencies that he signed having to do with cartels, criminal cartels. It's a very good emergency that he signed, and we're going to use parts of it in our dealings on cartels. So that would be a second national emergency, but in that case, it's already in place. And what we really want to do is simple. It's not like it's complicated. It's very simple. We want to stop drugs from coming into our country. We want to stop criminals and gangs from coming into our country. Nobody's done the job that we've ever done. I mean, nobody's done the job that we've done on the border. And in a way, what I did by creating such a great economy, and if the opposing party got in, this economy would be down the tubes. You know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, well, but maybe the previous administration. Let me tell you, the previous administration, it was heading south, and it was going fast. We would have been down the tubes. The regulations were strangling our country. Unnecessary regulations. By creating such a strong economy, you just look at your televisions or see what's going on today, it's through the roof. What happens is more people want to come. So we have far more people trying to get into our country today than probably we've ever had before. And we've done an incredible job in stopping them, but it's a massive number of people. If we had the wall, it would be very easy. We would make up for the cost of the wall just at the cost of the fact that I would be able to. So that's the story. We want to have a safe country. I ran on a very simple slogan, make America great again. If you're going to have drugs pouring across the border, if you're going to have human traffickers pouring across the border in areas where we have no protection, in areas where we don't have a barrier, then very hard to make America great again. But we've done a fantastic job, but we haven't been given the equipment. We haven't been given the walls.
That is President Trump, and we, the United States of America, are now under a national emergency, so he says, and so the Democrats say it's fake, and it's what we're going to be talking about for days and days as we probably face some court battles and things like that. But for now, President Trump is trying to take some funds from what other agencies he can and get the wall built, as promised, as he ran on. We are joined tonight on America Trends with Bart Marquez. He's a former undersecretary to President George W. Bush, career diplomat, and contributor to OpsLens.com, an experience-driven commentary. And we always love to have Bart on. How are you doing, Bart?
Great. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. So he finally did it. The deadline was midnight just a few hours ago to get a deal from the Democrats. They gave him some deal, but it was not nearly enough for what he wanted and needed to secure our borders. What did you think of just everything?
You know, it's I was going to ask you how you feel living under a national emergency. How you feel living under 32 national emergencies, because exactly. This is now the 32nd one that's in effect.
Mm-hmm. 32. And some of these have been in effect since the late 70s.
That's correct.
But the big thing, here's what Nancy Pelosi is going to say. Nancy Pelosi is going to say, as I mentioned, these other emergencies did not reappropriate funds. That's what Congress is supposed to do. That's our job. And so that'll be the whole legal fight. She and Schumer were just tossing around quotes today during President Trump's press conference from the Rose Garden. They say Congress will defend our constitutional authority using every remedy available. And that they say actions like this, what the president did today, Friday, left unchecked, would fundamentally alter the balance of powers and be completely unaligned with what our founding fathers wanted, which now they're concerned with what our founding fathers wanted. What did you think of all that? I mean, does she have a point? I mean, you could make a case. Oh, good. All right, let's hear it.
No, not at all. Not at all. The founding fathers have established the presidency as the executive authority.
Oh, right. As far as the founding fathers go, correct. Yeah.
With protecting the safety and security of the country, the Congress has a responsibility to fund it, and they have abrogated that for years. And Nancy Pelosi, two of the most dishonest people to ever hold a leadership position in the American government. And they put through this bill, they authorized and appropriated, what was it, $1.375 billion. And that money is truly meaningless because they put so many poison pills into it. Ann Coulter, whom I just adore, is apoplectic about it. And she's very critical of President Trump today. But Ann Coulter is missing the point of the national emergency. She's right. The poison pills that Pelosi and Schumer put in there and that the Republican negotiators accepted to their discredit and shame were that can only be spent on steel fencing. It can only be spent in the Rio Grande Valley area, and it can only be spent if the local mayors approve. And these are all places that have towns and cities that are 100% controlled by Democrats. So they said essentially, here's some money, but you can't spend it on protecting America. But President Trump has said in the national emergency, they've identified $600 million from seized funds from the Treasury and nearly over $6 billion in about $6.5 billion in military construction funds and Department of Homeland Security funds to fight the drug war. And those dollars are not restricted by this bill, and those dollars can be used to build about probably between 250 and 300 miles of fencing of any type, the the Border Patrol says is necessary.
Yeah, what the Democrats wanted to give is $1.4 billion for 55 miles of new barriers, just a fraction of what Trump wanted. And then you've got these small town mayors that can say, we really don't want a fence. And that's all well and good, but I mentioned before the Supremacy Clause. This is the United States of America. It's not just your town. If an illegal, if a drug runner, if a coyote, if a terrorist comes in through your small town, he's coming into the rest of the country. He's coming to all of us. And so it does matter. And there were all kinds of curbs on where construction could occur, what Congress handed them. So he pretty quickly said, I think we're going to do this. And then, in fact, he did. Did anything else stand out from his Rose Garden appearance today that he said that it's a lot of things he's been saying so far, but he did acknowledge those angel families who were there. And that's always just so profound and heartbreaking.
Yes, I can't believe that the Congress is completely ignoring these poor families, these incredible people who've gone through something that they should never have had to gone through, to go through. Their children have been murdered by people who had no business being here in the first place and who were only here because they were allowed to stay by sanctuary cities and sanctuary states and political leaders who care more about harming President Trump than about protecting America. And they are standing there as mute witnesses saying, these are our children that were killed. When is somebody going to protect us?
See, and I just think that's criminal for them to try to deny a wall just because they want their way and because Trump wants it. And in fact, we've had some angel families on recently. We have Maureen Maloney and Don Rosenberg, who started a group to try to help people navigate when they have something happen, because there are so many people who've had their family members killed by illegal aliens. And they were there today in the Rose Garden. And, there's this, they're talking about on Twitter that someone said to Jim Acosta stood up and spoke and said, this is this, that, and the other. And, are you creating a national emergency, Jim Acosta said. And Trump said back, talk to the angel moms and then find out.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to hear Nancy Pelosi's soundbite and talk more about what this all means in the proposed court battle, the promised court battle from the Democrats. When we come back, Bart Marcoise, can you stick around?
Yes.
Great. News of the day, of the hour, a national emergency declared in the United States of America as President Trump tries to get that border wall built to try to secure us all. He made his remarks from the Rose Garden, surrounded by press, his new attorney general, other members of his cabinet, of course, and angel moms and dads who have lost children and others to illegal aliens who shouldn't have been here in the first place. You're looking right now, you can find it all over social media. They've been there this week. Don Rosenberg is a guest on America Trends here sometimes. An illegal alien killed his son in Nancy Pelosi's district just a few years back. So that's A. B, looking at Twitter right now, Women for Trump, one group that posted some things that happened outside Speaker Pelosi's office this week. Some angel families tried to gather. And apparently, Capitol Hill, they say Pelosi is the one who called Capitol Hill police, and they brought a bag of orange zip ties to arrest the families if they didn't leave. And they just wanted to be heard by Nancy Pelosi. So that's just some of the stuff going on in the Rose Garden, some of the reasons why President Trump is adamant and so many people are backing him, as these angel families were on hand in the Rose Garden to hear about how he is going to get this wall done, come hell or high water. Bart Marcoise is a former undersecretary to President George W. Bush. Bart, are these, you've been around politics for a while. These are amazing times, no?
I've never seen anything like it, Amy. It is shocking and sad that they would threaten these families with arrest. It's disgusting. For them to ignore them and to pretend that they don't exist, and for the mainstream media to pretend they don't exist and to ignore them, is sad. But there are some other things. You asked about other things that stood out from the press conference. Mm-hmm. President Trump brought up China. And he spoke a great deal about China. And he brought up the issue of fentanyl. And he said, look, we have succeeded in asking China and getting China to agree to add fentanyl to their list of deadly drugs for which people receive the death penalty. Mm-hmm. I think that will have a big impact on the amount of fentanyl coming across our borders. He also pointed out that the huge amounts of drugs that we are receiving, the very large shipments, are not coming at all through legal points of entry, as the left keep repeating. He said, look, you know, you can get a brick here and a brick there through a legal port of entry, but the really huge shipments are coming across the unfenced, unregulated, unwatched borders. That's where the big shipments are coming. That's where the human trafficking is coming. And that was another poison pill that the Democrats put in that funding bill. They said, essentially, if you bring a child with you, you get to enter the United States and stay, and it's a get-out-of-jail-free card. You cannot be detained, you cannot be deported if you have a child with you. And it doesn't have to be your biological child. You can be a sponsor or a potential sponsor or the household member of a potential sponsor, essentially anybody. And what they've just done is written the death warrant or the slavery bill of sale for thousands of children to be trafficked by human traffickers.
Bart, can you just repeat what the Democrats said that they would allow? If you're with you, it doesn't matter if you're a terrorist, a trafficker. Could you repeat? Because that's what the Democrats said. This should be okay. And it's mind-blowing.
That is exactly what they said. Anybody who could be a potential sponsor of that child or a household member of a potential sponsor of that child, it could be a trafficker. It could be a drug trafficker. It could be a human trafficker. It could be somebody receiving the child as part of a human trafficking arrangement. We already saw that under President Obama, unaccompanied children were released into the custody of human trafficking, sex trafficking rings. The media quickly covered that up when they realized it happened under Obama's administration. But the Democrats have just opened the door and declared essentially open season on child slavery and child smuggling at the United States-Mexico border. It's sad, and I don't understand how they can do it. And I don't understand how any Democrat voter can look at that and say, yes, that's okay, because President Trump sometimes uses coarse and vulgar language.
You know, you're right. It's almost like a recipe. If the traffickers wanted to say, hey, let's write what we would like the United States of America to do, it's almost like they wrote it instead of our Congress people.
Yes.
And you mentioned under Barack Obama's, our next guest coming up this hour is a man named Jason Piccolo, Dr. Piccolo. He worked for ICE and Customs and Border Patrol. And under Obama in 2015, he was fired, he says, for blowing the whistle because so many thousands unaccompanied minors were being released to criminals. He's going to be talking to us in just a moment. He's got a book coming up. But it's funny you would mention that because what you're saying is very, very real.
I've heard Jason speak before, and he is articulate and informed and a real patriot, and I salute him.
So I just one quick thing, but I want to just see what you think the credence for a court challenge will be. But before we do that, let's take a listen to Speaker Pelosi. She and Chuck Schumer are already saying this can't be so. We're going to do everything we can. Trump can't do this. So let's take a few moments and listen straight from Pelosi's mouth right now.
Did I ever say I was filing a legal challenge?
You said Democrats.
I may. That's an option. And we'll review our options. But it's important to note that when the president declares this emergency, first of all, it's not an emergency, what's happening at the border. It's a humanitarian challenge to us. The president has tried to sell a bill of goods to American people. But putting that aside, just in terms of the president making an end run around Congress, here he said, let us respect what the committee will do, and then walks away from it. The president is doing an end run about Congress, about the power of the purse. You've heard me say over and over again, Article 1, the legislative branch, the power of the purse, the power to declare war, many other powers listed in the Constitution, and, of course, the responsibility to have oversight. So the president is doing an end run around that. We will review our options, we'll be prepared to respond appropriately to it. I know the Republicans have some unease about it, no matter what they say, because if the president can declare an emergency on something that he has created as an emergency, an illusion that he wants to convey, just think of what a president with different values can present to the American people.
Says the border crisis is a mere humanitarian challenge for the USA. Bart, does she have a point in some of the remarks she makes?
No, she's wrong on every one of them. She says that she talks about there's not an emergency. Ask the angel moms and dads if there's an emergency. Ask the people in Northern Virginia who are suddenly having to fight MS-13 again when it was completely eradicated during the Bush administration and it's come back flourishing again. Ask the people in any border town. Ask the people in Kansas who had a child killed in the past month. Anywhere in the country. It's an emergency, and it's a national emergency. She talks about the power of the purse and the Congress. Congress has ceded its authority to the executive over and over by refusing to do their job. If Nancy Pelosi cares about the powers of the Congress and the power of the purse, let's see her pass a spending bill by April, as is mandated in the Constitution. Let's see her do it on time. Let's see her pass 13 spending bills separately and not hold off until October and do everything all at once. There's the power of the purse for you. Let's see her do that. That is the business of the House of Representatives. And Bart, she hasn't even submitted anything like it.
Bart, we love having you on. Check him out at Ops Lens. We can't wait to talk to you again. To be continued.
But that's only one example. There are so many examples. In El Paso, they have close to 2,000 murders right on the other side of the wall. And they had 23 murders. It's a lot of murders. But it's not close to 2,000 murders right on the other side of the wall in Mexico. So everyone knows that walls work. And there are better examples than El Paso, frankly. You just take a look almost everywhere. Take a look at Israel. They're building another wall. Their wall is 99.9% effective, they told me. 99.9%. That's what it would be with us, too. The only weakness is they go to a wall and then they go around the wall. They go around the wall and in.
And therein lies the problem. So you've got to have a very secure, fortified border wall. And that's what President Trump wants. And in fact, a national emergency is declared. He's going to try to get the funds to do it, even if Congress says not so fast. We are so glad to be joined this hour by Dr. Jason Piccolo. He is the author of this book, Unwavering, A Border Agent's Journey from Hunter to Hunted. You can pre-order it right now. It's coming out in March. So be aware of that. Mark your calendars, do a pre-order. He is a former Border Patrol agent, ICE special agent, and DHS supervisor. He's got everything. Veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom, And then this book coming out. Dr. Piccolo, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
So did President Trump overstate this? I mean, you had eyes there for all these years.
The border is a mess, and it's been a mess for 30, 40 years now. The biggest push was back in the 90s. You guys know this, back when Operation Gatekeeper came in. That's when our first wall, first fortification came up, and it worked. It pushed all the traffic out of the San Diego area into the mountains. Will this work? I hope so. Did we need to declare a national emergency? I don't believe so.
You don't think we needed a national emergency?
I think we need to fix the problem. And I think what's going to happen now is a lot of people are going to be continuing to butt heads together, i.e. Democrats v. the Republicans v. the president. It's just we need to come up with a long-term solution that we could all agree on.
I agree. And I think he was wanting that from Democrats. And it would be nice if they could work together. Should he have tried to talk more? I mean, the February 15th midnight was his deadline to say, I will shut down the government again unless the Democrats give me a deal I want. They handed him a deal. It had a lot of, it wasn't even close to the number of miles of border wall he wanted and says the U.S. needed. So if he doesn't declare a national emergency, what else do you think he could do?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the thing is, if you put Trump's name behind anything, And nobody on either side really wants to support it unless they're a bona fide Trump supporter, or on the other side, they're anti-Trump anything. So that nothing will happen there. But the border mess is not going to just, you know, we could declare an emergency and fix part of it, but we got to continue on with that. This has to be a continuous process. And it's not just the wall.
Yeah, it's going to take a while to fix what has been broken over so many years. And it is more than just a wall that we need. So, again, you've seen it all firsthand. Can you tell our audience again, for some of our new affiliates, what happened to you? Because in 2015, yeah. You tried to speak up about something, and then what?
Yeah, well, in 2015, I was working at the ICE headquarters. I was a staff officer there, and I was then assigned to the White House human smuggling cell, which was one of Obama's programs to stop the flow of the migration patterns from unaccompanied alien children and just massive flow of aliens coming across the border. And what I found out while I was working there, that we, i.e. the U.S. government, was releasing unaccompanied alien children. And we're not talking the MS-13 types. We're talking like tender-age kids here, babies on up to 4 or 5, 6 years old. We were releasing them to criminals.
Now, how did you find that out? How did you see that firsthand? Can you reveal without revealing any intelligence that people shouldn't know about?
Sure, there's no intelligence there. It was just a spreadsheet from managers.
Okay.
There was no intelligence. It was not an intelligent thing to release these kids to criminals. But man, I found a spreadsheet that came from some of the highest levels that what they were doing is they took 29,000 children that were sponsored. A sponsor, just for your audience, is like someone who comes in and takes care of that child, takes them from the U.S. custody. And it doesn't have to be a family member. So what happens is a sponsor comes in and they were just getting released. The children were getting released to these sponsors without the sponsors being vetted. The sponsors weren't even having simple criminal histories done, no fingerprints, nothing. And out of 29,000, 3,400 or 3,600 of those kids were released to criminals, including sex offenders. And I said, hey, you know what? We got to do something. We can't let this happen. And by the time I got a hold of that spreadsheet, it was a month since that information was vetted out. My calls were unheeded. So I went to the Office of Special Counsel, went to Senator Grassley's office, and I blew the whistle.
You went to Grassley's office and blew the whistle, and he didn't do anything? Senator
No,
Chuck
Grassley did. He did. He went. He took it full bore.
Okay,
and
that's
he's
what
the
I
reason
thought.
We're actually yeah. He's the reason we actually started vetting sponsors with fingerprints, and then I would hope that later on part of the DNA analysis came from some of my whistleblowing.
I don't know if you got a chance to look at this. You can't follow every bit of news that comes out, and so much is coming out every hour, right? But what the Democrats handed Trump this week was it had something in it about that the sponsors will be exempt from getting thrown out or getting prosecuted if they're with a kid. So it sounds like what you were complaining about and whistleblowing and saying, why is this happening? The Democrats are saying, hey, let's let this happen. Did you see that part of the bill or hear about it?
I heard about it. I didn't get to read part of it. But if they're going to go back and do the same thing that was happening before just to expedite these children out of custody, it makes no sense. Because I know for a fact that people were coming across that border with fake passports, getting married up with a child, i.e. they both had the same passport, the same name, getting shipped across the border. And as soon as they got here, they sent those passports back to be used again. So, I mean, you cannot go back to the way it was.
Dr. Jason Piccolo, he's seen it all. He details his journey in his coming book, just weeks away. It's called Unwavering. His journey from protecting our nation within and outside its borders to becoming a human target when he blew the whistle in this book. So you can see him. He's on a lot of major networks all the time. We're always glad to have him pipe in here. But former Border Patrol agent, ICE special agent, and DHS supervisor. So, you know, we're going to keep you over for a segment and talk about the caravans coming up and all these things. But any other remarks that you have about what President Trump had to say from the Rose Garden about all this?
He said a lot of truth. There's so much going on at that border that nobody has an idea unless you've actually experienced it. And that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to take a caravan of congressmen down to the border, congresswomen too, and to say, you know what? You're going to stay here. You're going to see the border reality. And not during the daytime either. We're talking, we're going to say 3 a.m. in the morning in some of those most remote areas, and you're going to see what comes across the border.
And you have to know so much, Jason, Dr. Piccolo, if I can call you either or, because we see things like just in recent weeks, there was surveillance video of someone tossing a three-year-old over a very high fence. We hear about how it's a fact that when people start to make the journey, women and children, females, they take birth control before they leave. They take it with them because they expect to be raped or they expect to have to trade in order to get their journey completed. And these are just things we hear about. I can't imagine what you've seen.
It's not just me. It's my coworkers as well, my former coworkers. There are actual evil people out there. And unless you actually realize that, I don't know if you can grasp the reality.
It's a very big business. And for that, follow the money. It means it's not going away, not hardly. So we have to do something to secure our borders and secure any entry into the U.S. Okay, so Dr. Piccolo, we're going to hold you over for another segment, talk a little bit more about this and see what you think of the most recent caravan and remarks that they are trying to infiltrate the U.S. with some 30,000 illegal alien migrants. Stay tuned. Talking about the national state of emergency the USA is in after President Trump's declaration. We'll see what Congress has to say about it. Well, they've said a lot of things, the Democrats, and we'll see what happens in the court system with that. But meanwhile, we are talking to Dr. Jason Piccolo. He's a former ICE agent, Border Patrol. He's got a new book coming out called Unwavering. And this details how he saw really bad stuff happening. Thousands of unaccompanied minors coming to our border and being released to really bad guys who are sex trafficking, human traffic. I mean, this is one of the biggest businesses in the world. It's not going away. People are going to follow the money. They're going to be evil. They don't care. And welcome back, Dr. Piccolo.
Hey, thanks for having me. I want to note on that it's a $1 billion a year business just for alien smuggling. Ugh. Now, if you throw into the narco smuggling, you're talking $200 billion. I mean, it's billions of dollars. It's crazy.
Sure, you just put them all together because if it's all, you know, we hear this word synergy. It's when you have a company and you do one thing and it makes sense to buy other companies that help your bottom line and everything works together. There's a synergy with the drugs, the human trafficking, the sex trafficking, the everything. People are making a lot of money, evil people. And all we want to do is stop it and try to protect our borders and our American citizens. So tell us a little bit about what your book will reveal.
Well, it starts off with how I joined the Army in the 1990s and then how I went on to become a Border Patrol agent. It'll detail some Border Patrol stories, what the border reality is like. Then later on, I become a special agent with U.S. Customs, and then it becomes ICE, working narco trafficking in San Diego, one of the busiest port areas in the world. And then it goes on to where, you know, quick tour over to Iraq as an infantry captain. I come back. I start working for ICE as a fugitive operations supervisor, go to headquarters, and then it ends with me blowing the whistle.
Jason, I just have to stop and say thank you for your service, first of all. And then you continued serving with your career. And then you put yourself out there to try to blow the whistle to help. So, you know, it can't be easy. So your book's coming out in March. We're going to hear, you know, we'll have you back and talk about it. It'd be so interesting to hear some of the tidbits of it. And when you were in San Diego working, were you around when the wall went up?
I came in at the tail end. I started in 2000, but a lot of my friends started in the 1990s when Gatekeeper really came into effect. But I was there when the border was just pretty much a tin fence up 10 feet in the air.
So you had to have heard from your comrades whether they thought the wall worked?
Well, the wall did work. Look, if your audience is not aware of how San Diego was built, there's a suburb called Chula Vista. Now, back in the 90s and earlier, a lot of that migration traffic would just overwhelm that whole area. Now, what happened later on when that 14 miles came up, the 14-mile fence came from the Pacific Ocean to the Otay Mountains, it funneled all that traffic away from Chula Vista. And then what happened was economic prosperity when thousands of homes were built. Oh, so, yeah, it worked.
It's funny you would say that because when I moved to Southern California in 2003, 2004, that's exactly what was happening. Chula Vista, which is just south of San Diego, just on top of San Ysidro, above Tijuana, Mexico, was the fastest growing city in all of the United States. So many new homes were being built, and a very old community, very old and historic, was expanding with all these new homes, and it's still very beautiful. They had master planners come in from Disney to make these beautiful neighborhoods and beautiful shopping centers. And you're exactly right. So it's funny you would sort of say that, because I was a witness to it. So when you talk about the wall working in San Diego, we saw several weeks back, we had caravans come here to San Ysidro, or just below San Ysidro in Tijuana, and they had some trouble getting through. So this current caravan, who just arrived almost 2 weeks ago, they went up to Piedras Negras, Mexico, which is under Eagle Pass, Texas, because it's well known there that the borders are very porous. So there's 1,800 right now being sheltered, and they're going to have to go through a year-long asylum process in Mexico. And maybe, or maybe they're sneaking in as we speak. Can you speak about, what do you know about that part of our southern border?
It's porous. You know, I've worked up, I've been detailed out to the porous areas, and you could sneak in. It's going to be very easy, especially with, you know, if you break off into smaller groups. But one thing you bring up about the caravan is we're talking major logistics. If you're talking, let's say, 30,000 people in a caravan and move 2,000 miles, think of a military operation to invade Iraq, not invade Iraq, but yeah, to invade Iraq. And think about how much logistics you need just to move troops from, you know, 50 miles. Yeah. We're talking thousands of miles to 30,000 people. That's food, shelter, everything you can imagine. So there's something behind this caravan that's not really getting pushed out there into the public.
Right. There's something to be said. It's not hyperbole to say this is an invasion. People are saying it left and right. And we heard this week, the head of intelligence for Guatemala, Mario Duarte, was visiting Washington. And he said what many suspected, that the migrant caravans heading to the U.S. are very well planned, very well organized by those wanting to weaponize those in need. These migrants, these desperate migrants, are being used as pawns. He said that different intelligence, law enforcement, military, found that evidence that the big October caravan that I mentioned that did come up to just below San Diego from Honduras, which at one point contained about 40,000 immigrants, was organized in advance. They're using Facebook. They're using the WhatsApp app. I'm not familiar with it, but apparently on October 5th, someone in Honduras put a call out and said, let's get a caravan going. So it's just sort of, and he goes on to say, I would tell anyone to look it up. I know that Breitbart.com at least has the article. He says that the ultimate goal is to destabilize the U.S. and its partners. And you have to give that credence a bit, do you?
I do. And that's my biggest problem is, and you're going to see a lot of these stories in my book, and one of the reasons I blew the whistles, there are actually people out there trying to do the right thing and who have legitimate asylum claims that are getting mixed up with the bad folks. So they're out of, let's say, out of all the thousands of people, I mean, if they're using the good ones to get the bad ones through, it's just a lose-lose situation.
And it's heartbreaking. And the worst thing that happens is people say, well, if you don't want these caravans to come, then you hate immigrants, which is completely untrue. We love people to come here legally the right way. Other immigrants who've done that love that too. They want others that come after them to go the right way. And they, you know, they're talking about this Guatemalan official saying that these people were using women and children to try to stop from being gassed. It's just, it's heartbreaking all the way. But Dr. Piccolo, I appreciate you coming on and really telling us what's really going on. And tell us when your book's coming out.
March 15th, and it's on Amazon for pre-order now.
Pre-order now. Dr. Jason Piccolo, it is called Unwavering, a border agent's journey from hunter to hunted. Thank you so much.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
It's a swimming pool!
Oh!
your shoe came off. There you go.
Hey, you've been spending the hour with America Trends on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio all around the world. We're real glad to see you and want to invite you to find us 24/7 on our website, one of which is u2america.com. Click through there. You can find we have live programming around the clock. And also, if you hit the featured at the top, there's you can go to on demand viewing for any of our shows. And then on Biz Talk Radio, too. There's Wes and Sully. With the Big Biz Show, you've got to watch their show. It's one of the funniest shows I've ever seen, and they're very good together, very good advice, and with a barroom slant, nothing wrong with that. Pawn Stars, Paula Deen, these are some other programming bits on U2 America, so we'll see you there, and you can also click right through on the website. It'll take you right to our Twitter pages, right to our Facebook pages, right to our Instagram pages, and we can all be friends and keep up with one another, and it'll all be a lot of fun. We also say thanks to our friends who are on the show tonight. Mr. Bart Marcois, he's a former undersecretary to George W. Bush. He writes for Ops Lens. And we talked about today's breaking news, the national emergency trying to get this border wall. And then we had Dr. Jason Piccolo, former ICE agent and Customs and Border Patrol agent. And he's also an author. He's got a new book coming out. He told us firsthand what he saw on the border. So we appreciate the big wig guys coming on tonight. Finally tonight, oh, that's his book, Unwavering. Thank you. Finally tonight, conservative commentator and comedian Terrence K. Williams sounds off on the big news. He has a little reaction to President Trump's new declaration that he will build the wall by declaring this national emergency. Apparently he thinks it's grounds for a dance party.
Trump is building the wall, y'all. But they keep coming from the wall, the wall. Cause the writing's on the wall. Y'all look
badass. Y'all look badass. Terrence, so what did Trump basically tell America today?
You don't have to love me. You don't even have to like me. But you will respect me. You know why? Because I'm a boss.